Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Welcome to episode 26 of The Desi Outsiders, which will now be called The Priyanka Show, because it's my show. I am a lawyer in London, and very recently I have decided to start podcasting. No, not really. I'm still a lawyer in London. And I've been living here for the last 1 year, working with a big city law firm. And I've known Ankita since I was 10 years old, and she was weirder then than she is now, believe it or not.
Is that possible?
Well, you'll be surprised. Oh my god, she was so weird. We were talking about this yesterday, but I'll tell you more when we actually get into the show. Also, don't interrupt me. This is my show now. So,
shut up, Meenal.
No, I'm joking. I'm in the hot seat today, and Meenal and Ankita are going to ask me a bunch of questions about my life, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, well done. That was a good introduction. I'm proud of you. I trained you well.
No, I've taken over the show.
So you want me to just take a step back?
Yes, please.
Priyanka's been practicing for the past couple of months just for this moment. Yeah. So
this is her Oscar moment.
Yeah. So Priyanka, we're very happy to have you on the show, and I've heard a lot about you and a lot about your life in London. Don't worry, Ankita's only been saying good things about you.
I find that very hard to believe.
Yeah, why?
That's why I was really excited to have you on the show.
What is the one bad thing I can say about you? You're my friend since the age of 10.
Yeah, and I was so weird at 10. There's nothing good that could come out of that.
See, if I reveal your deep dark secrets, then I'll be revealing mine as well.
No,
so
it is true.
I wouldn't do that.
So Priyanka, just tell us a little bit about yourself and tell our listeners about your career and where you are right now and how everything started off.
So my parents were in the Air Force and they were doctors. So when I was back home in India, they used to move from one city to another a lot, which is how I got to meet Ankita.
So they were doctors in the Air Force?
Yeah, they are still doctors, but not practicing in the Air Force anymore. And we were posted in Trivandrum for 3 years, I think. And that's when I met Ankita in school. And we moved around a lot. I moved to Bangalore after that, did my high school from Bangalore and then Singapore, and then decided to pursue law and moved back to Bangalore from Singapore to study at National Law School Bangalore. I studied law there for 5 horrible long years, but they were horrible because I had to study a lot, but they were actually the best years of my life. And got a job in my 4th year and then moved to London to start practicing with a big city law firm.
And when you started studying in Bangalore, were your dreams and aspirations to move to London from then?
Oh god, no. I had no dreams and aspirations when I was in Bangalore. My dreams and aspirations were to go out and play basketball. I was obsessed with basketball at the time.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Like you mentioned, you know, your parents were doctors. And if I remember correctly, your dad is a cardiologist and your mom is a cancer pathologist.
Correct.
And from the time... 10 points to Gryffindor. From the time I've known you, you were so studious. I always assumed that you would also become a doctor because you were not a normal kind of studious. You were medical student kind of studious.
Ankita, excuse me. Excuse me.
I feel that you can recognize medical students from the time they're young because they're always like sitting down studying.
That's not true.
It's a different kind of studious, I feel.
You know
that's
the funny
a lie.
No, but why did you end up picking law of all things suddenly?
Lots of things happened when I was in my 11th standard in Singapore. The first of which was I realized I was always a science student, but I dropped biology quite early on, surprisingly. So it's funny that you say I was a medical student kind of person because I hated biology. So I dropped it and I was studying physics, chemistry, mathematics, history and literature in Singapore. And I realized in 11th that I absolutely hated math. Mm. I love physics. Physics was my favorite subject. I still love physics. I love reading theories and I love watching stuff about physics. But math and physics are kind of married and you can't do actual
one
physics
without the other.
You cannot, you cannot practice or you cannot study physics if you're bad at math. I just have, I'm not bad at math. It's just that I don't enjoy it at all.
Yeah.
So I had to then take a call on whether or not I actually want to study physics. And there was nothing else that I wanted to study. And at the same time, I had a teacher in Singapore who was, who used to teach me the subject called general studies or something like that, which was basically just, it was their equivalent of English because you don't have an English language subject, which you study throughout, but you have general paper. That's what it was called. And you study about everything about law, society, culture. And it's basically like a general knowledge paper. And he used to be a lawyer and I found him very impressive. He was a great person to talk to. He knew so much and it kind of just molded me. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe I want to study law. And I told him this one day, I'm like, I think I want to study law like you. And he was like, well, you do realize that I've quit my job as a lawyer and I'm a teacher, right? So it wasn't the best career choice for me, but maybe it will be for you. So that's what happened.
You know, Priyanka, when we were, I mean, nowadays it's very different for people in the 11th grade or 12th grade who are approaching university standard and they have to figure out their choices. Because now, like, you know, people are influenced by so many more things, like on social media, on the internet, you know, people watch TV shows. And I now, because Ankita knows that I watched the full season of Good Wife.
Oh,
I wish I could be a lawyer.
She thinks she can easily, like, take someone down in
court. I could go in court right now and take someone on. Like, I think I can do that.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. It takes a lot more preparation than the Good Life, let's all look. Good Life, Good Wife, let's
Good
all
Wife.
So, no, but the thing is, just generally, you know, we have a lot more inspiration at our disposal nowadays, you know, with the internet, with social media, with TV shows, with everything in general. So it must have been a bit different to your time when you just had your teacher to look up to or your role model.
Yeah, it was. And it was a decision that made my parents quite uncomfortable. They were not, because it was a sudden career change, they always just assumed that I wanted to study science. And that I would, I don't know, become an engineer or
whatever. Why exactly do you think they were uncomfortable with this?
Just because it was unfamiliar. So my parents, touch wood, I'm blessed to have very liberal, very forward thinking parents. They've never told me what to do. They've never told me that this is exactly what you must do with your life. They've let me explore and do things that that give me happiness. But they were just a little bit uncertain whether or not this would be the best choice for me. Why would I? And I was in Singapore on a scholarship, and I had the option of continuing on that scholarship for my university as well, in a good school in NUS, studying electrical engineering, which is a course that I got through for. And my parents were just apprehensive that I wanted to just throw it all away and come back. So actually I had to deal with my dad that if I don't get into the best law school in the country, then I would go back to Singapore and study electrical engineering because he would not let me throw away
So the deal was that you had to get into Bangalore.
If not,
you would have not been able to pursue your career.
It was a little bit more flexible. It had to be either Bangalore or Hyderabad, which are the top two ranked law schools in India.
Wow.
And he was like, well, you said you want to study law. You give it your best shot and you study hard. And I know you can do it. But if you don't make it, you are going back to Singapore.
So Priyanka, I'm not aware of these schools in India. I don't know so much about them. So if you can just give me an idea of how competitive it is to get in, like what are the statistics like?
It's my favorite subject. So when I applied, it was easier, to be fair. You have the common law admission test, which is kind of like a central JEE type exam, which you would appear for if you wanted to get into one of the IITs, for example. And there's a bunch of national law schools in the country now in different cities. So I think the top few are Bangalore, Hyderabad, Calcutta, Jodhpur, and there's many others. I think there's 12 or 13 in all. And each of them takes around somewhere between 80 to 100 students every year. And
how many apply every year?
So nowadays, I think it's upwards of 60,000, 50,000, 60,000 who are applying.
What? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And only close to 100 students get through. This is why the National Law School is like the best, and you have to be the best to get through.
Wow.
So
Priyanka, be very honest, how much did you pay them to get in?
Numbers you've never seen in your life.
So you had to do an exam to get in.
Yeah.
Just one exam.
So it's just one multiple choice paper that you appear for, and it happens on one day, and all 50,000 odd students will go towards their exam centers on that day and appear for that exam. So if you're having a bad day,
how long did you study for?
So I actually had the advantage time because when I was in Singapore, my school year was from January to December, and this exam happens in May. So when I came back home at the end of December, I had like 4 or 5 months to just study for the CLAT, and that's what I did. But a lot of students, a lot of my really good friends from university, were actually appearing for their 12th boards at the time and also studying for the CLAT. Didn't have that kind of time, so it's actually it's much tougher for somebody who wants to do it.
But it must have been taxing at the same time to just focus all your energy on one thing for five months of
my dad jokes about it. There were times when he would just come into my room early in the morning and I'd be sitting on the floor with my book, like rocking backwards and forwards, studying, just memorizing stuff.
I can picture you do that.
Yeah, I was just obsessed. I really wanted it. And here's that. So this, I had like a personal agenda to get to Bangalore as well, because my boyfriend at the time was in Bangalore and I'd been dating him for 4 years, and you know how teenage minds think. I was like, oh no, I need to be in Bangalore. But it turned out to be one of the best things for me because it motivated me to study like nothing else would.
Yeah,
and I will always be thankful to him for that.
But Priyanka, so I just wanted to ask, like, your mentality, how old were you? 17?
I was I was 17 going on 18. Yeah,
so you were 17 going on to 18, and at that age, I know at that age, I wasn't as determined as you probably were. For me, it was a case of, well, I'll get into medical school, any medical school that comes, you know. I was like, yeah, I'll just do whatever I have to do. But you seem to be completely focused and completely determined just for that one thing. So how did you wake up every morning? What did you think every day when you woke up and said, okay, I'm going to study? And how did you make sure that you weren't distracted by other things? Can you please help me? Because I have exams soon.
I was just going to say, meet Priyanka Madan, and this is the person I wanted you to meet for so long.
I don't know, actually. I think it was just honestly the circumstances that made me so determined to do that, because I knew that I was desperate to stay on and study law. I didn't have the option of studying law in Singapore because they have weird requirements to get into law school over there. And I wouldn't have made the cut. So it was just so many things. I didn't want to study a subject which I knew I would be terrible at, aka math. I didn't want to go back to Singapore either because it was just, I didn't enjoy living in that place for more than 2 years. I thought it was a little bit too closed up. I wanted to be closer to home. I just wanted to go back to Bangalore because it was the city that I spent the most amount of time in. So all of these things together, and I had nothing else to do, and I just had a point to prove, you know, because my parents were anxious and I didn't want them to be, and I wanted a good career for myself as well. I've always been quite independent and very career driven. So it was just, it has to be the best.
So what
or nothing.
Do you think, what do you think you would have done if you hadn't got this place in Bangalore?
Ah, for a brief amount of time, I hadn't got this place in Bangalore. So my rank put me on the waiting list for Bangalore when the first list of students came out.
Right.
I was
right.
first amongst the first few ranks to get into the second law school, which was Hyderabad. And I would have been more than happy to go there. And I wasn't in, but I didn't make the cut for Bangalore for like the first few weeks. I think it was 3 weeks or something when the first few acceptances come in, and then the second waiting list gets published and stuff like that. And I was distraught. You have no idea. I still remember that moment when I got my result. It was like the middle of the night, because the rank list comes out in the evening, but the college by college list comes out later that night. And it was like 1 o'clock or something when the list was finally published. And I saw it and I woke my parents up and told them I didn't get into Bangalore, and just kind of cuddled up in between them and slept because I was so upset. But things work out. I don't know. I have no idea how this worked out, but
the stars aligned for you then, Priyanka.
Stars aligned, exactly.
And everything worked out for the best, and you got into law school.
Yeah, but I would have been happy to go to Hyderabad as well, and I think I would have gone to Hyderabad.
So it's just really interesting, because it just seems like you were in a sort of do or die situation, right? Where you're like, well, this is what I have to do, and this is what I need to do. Because a lot of other students generally, whether they're applying for university or whether they are in university already, they don't have this mentality. You know, they're just like, well, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I can go on to plan B. I can go to plan C.
Yeah. And in a way, that's a good thing. But you have to remember that a lot of my do or die situation was self-imposed. It wasn't actually like I didn't have options.
Yeah, but it worked, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it worked. It worked for me because I work best under pressure. But at the same time, I don't want to put the message out there that you must always put yourself under that kind of pressure. Because for a lot of people, having a good plan B is actually a great thing because your plan B option is wonderful. So for people who can push themselves to achieving, or you know, for people who know that they can do better, it's always best to strive for that.
Yeah, because I think generally a lot of students and a lot of people are trying to sort of find the perfect recipe to thrive, to be productive, and to actually achieve their goals and achieve their results. So that's why I was asking you, like, what made you work so hard? Because I know that for me, I can also work under pressure, but sometimes that pressure actually also puts you down.
Exactly.
So you have to have the right balance. And that's why I asked you how it worked for you.
But then, like we were saying, everything worked out for the best and you got into National Law School, Bangalore. Yeah. But I remember talking to you in 2015, around the time of my wedding, and you couldn't attend because you were in Paris for a semester.
I was in Paris for a semester.
How was that experience?
Oh, it was amazing. Those 6 months are something that I will just never forget. I got the opportunity to go study at Sciences Po, which is in Paris. It's one of the best political science universities in the world. All of their prime ministers and politicians go to that university. So it's a great school. Yeah. It's in the middle of Paris and we run an exchange program with them. And I got to go with my best friend from university. And we spent 6 glorious months in Paris together. Everyone thought it was a honeymoon, which it was. It was, and we studied, but because it was the last 6 months of university, we didn't really take the most challenging courses. We took courses that we thought would expand our horizons, which they did, and would be a little bit more relaxing in terms of the content. So, for example, one of my courses was called Television and the American Dream.
Oh.
Yeah, which turned out to be an incredible course. And the mandatory viewing for that course was watching the first season of Mad Men and watching the first season of The Wire. Yeah, it was incredible. It was so good.
And your parents were okay, like, to send you to Europe?
Oh, yeah.
For 6 months, it was
my parents are used to me just living outside of the house since I was 15. They sent me off to Singapore when I was 15. So, they were like, yeah, go do whatever you want.
But is it really common for, students from your university to go on these exchange? Like, does everyone go or do only a select few end up going?
I think, a select few end up going, not everyone. So in a batch of 80 odd students, I think maybe 10 or maybe less than 10, but not more than 10 would go on exchange.
So basically from around 60,000 students who apply, around 100 get through. And out of the 100, around 10 get to go on these.
Yeah, but exchange is not really, I don't know. I don't associate exchange with merit. I associate it more with whether you want to go on exchange. Of course, merit has a role to play. So if you're not performing well at university, they're not going to be like, okay, yeah, go spend 6 months at some other college.
Right.
So you do have to have good grades and everything. But a lot of people don't want to go. A lot of people can't afford it. So I went, I got a scholarship for, so it's exchange. So you don't have to pay for the tuition, but just living in Paris is expensive.
Oh yeah.
But I was lucky enough to get a stipend scholarship, which afforded me, it's called the Char Park Scholarship, little plug-in promotion.
Priyanka, I feel this small right now.
I literally feel that way when I'm with her because she's like 5'8", 5'9" in height. And I literally feel that small.
I think I'm gonna, after we cut this call, I think I'm just going to reevaluate my life.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just get a notebook and just. This is why, Meenalviz, this is why I told you we have to talk to Priyanka.
Yeah.
This is. So, now I feel bad.
So, Priyanka, when you left for your graduation, you landed your first job in central London. And it's not just something you just hear on the street with most people, right? Like, oh, I just studied law in Bangalore. Now I'm in London. How did you get that? And is it very common to find people move from India to London for a job in law or?
In the city law firm circle, I wouldn't say it's uncommon just because going to a good law school in India will afford you the opportunity to apply for these jobs. So I think what's happened over the last few years is firms in London have recognized that students who go through the 5 years of law studies back home in India actually have a very sound understanding of the legal system, just because there's no way you can come out of it the other side without knowing and without being good at your subject. So they've started picking up students from the top law universities, and it's a recent trend, but if you are good at your job and at your studies and you have good grades, then you can apply for positions in London law firms. Come here, do an internship. They'll evaluate you during the internship. And then at the end of it, offer you the same training contract that they offer to anybody else who wants to join the firm.
What about your other classmates? Where are they now? Are they also in other parts of the world?
All over the world, really. Some of them decided to do masters, so they would have gone to Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard, wherever. Some of them, most of them are back home in India with either Indian firms or litigating with some senior advocates in Delhi or Bombay.
So Priyanka, I just wanted to ask you, because obviously we know the legal system in India, it has its own webs and its own stories. And
you could say that.
Yeah. So what do you, as a lawyer now, and you're in London, and I'm sure you hear or read about a lot of stories that happen in court in India or any cases. And does that bring a fire inside you to think maybe I can use my skills in India? Have you ever thought about that? To go back home and...
But not really, because, and this is a horrible message to put out there for a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people vehemently disagree with this, but I feel like I cannot do anything I can't do anything to change the system unless there's a change at a larger level, mm-hmm. at a more systemic level. I feel like individual mm-hmm. lawyers, especially being a woman back home as a lawyer in India, there's still way too many hurdles that I would need to overcome. And it's not easy being a female lawyer back home in India. It's just, things are changing. There's a lot of firms mm-hmm. and a lot of seniors who are very accepting and will put forward good female lawyers and help them progress their career. But generally, it's still an old men's club. So it's difficult to establish yourself, especially in the litigation circles. It's very difficult to establish yourself as a force to be reckoned with.
So, I completely understand. So for you, it's much better to work in London, establish yourself, work on your own personal career choices, and then see how it goes from there, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've always kind of been, maybe thought two steps in advance, but not really planned out my entire future. So I have no mm-hmm. idea what's going to happen 2 years mm-hmm. from now. But right now I'm happy in London and I enjoy the work. So
yeah, mm-hmm. and right now in London you work late, late, late nights.
Oh my God,
I mean, there have been times when, I've called Priyanka sometimes. Not called her, texted her in the morning, and she would tell me that she was in her office till 3 in the morning. And she went back home to change and shower only to be back at her desk at 6 in the morning again. So she works this hard, and even on the day before I got here, I texted her, and she at midnight she was still in the office. So she works her ass off. So I wanted to know, what drives you to work so hard?
Well, the first thing that drives me is that the really late nights don't happen that often, so it's okay. It happens once in a while, but at that, so if you're preparing for a trial, for example, there's a big case or a big closing that's happening, it's kind of expected that you'll do everything in your power to do that. So it's quite exhilarating when you have so many people in the team who are working together, and all of them are pulling late nights. It's kind of like a team bonding exercise.
So when you're working late at night, you're working with your other colleagues as well?
Oh yeah. Sometimes if it's just purely because of mismanagement on my behalf, then I have to uh-huh. stay late to fix it. Uh-huh. But usually your team will stay back as well, because everybody is busy and everybody's working towards a deadline. So.
But I think it helps that you're single and young and you just joined. Yeah, so you have this fire and passion to just keep
absolutely
going.
Yeah, my work is everything to me, and I have no problem in saying that, because a lot of people think, oh no, why should your work be everything? I think when you are young and you are by yourself in a city, your work should be everything to you, because that's why you're here. Not for long, mm-hmm. not forever, but these are the years to establish myself, and I have no problem working hard and putting in the hours.
But do you have any other hobbies outside of work? Is there other things that you do enjoy?
Yeah, I'm
like buying presents for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Like spending money. No, I'm joking. I do have a lot of hobbies outside of work. I quite enjoy music, so I play the guitar and I sing.
By the way, she taught herself how to play the guitar. So are you feeling smaller now, Mina? Because I am.
Wow. Well, yeah, so that's one of them. I enjoy reading a fair bit. Mm-hmm. I, well, I don't know.
Ankita's also mentioned that you've traveled quite a lot as well.
When I was doing my semester abroad in Paris, I traveled a lot. And then since coming to London, I've tried to travel whenever possible, take trips here and there, travel around the UK. Not as much as those 6 months though. Those 6 months I traveled everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's your favorite place you've been to so far?
My favorite place. So my favorite country would be Portugal, just because it's beautiful. Oh my God, it's so amazing. I have no words for that country. My favorite city actually would be Prague.
Really?
Yeah, I had a great time in Prague. It was my friend and I, my best friend and I, and another really good friend of mine from New York. We just, those 4 days were amazing. And we walked all over the city, saw all of the sights, went to some of the really good pubs. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic.
How many countries do you think you've visited in 25 years of your life?
I knew I was supposed to calculate this, but I didn't. So I can only like tick it off now. I don't know. I want to say 15, 20, somewhere between 15 and 20.
Awesome.
By the time she's 25. How small do you feel now, Mina?
Oh my God, this is not a competition.
Don't
stop
exist.
It.
Because I feel really small.
But Priyanka, you know, you just mentioned that you traveled a lot. You went to Paris and you moved around. How much of an impact do you think that's had on your life generally?
Yeah. One of my colleagues says that the best way to kind of know what unites human beings is to go to a country where they don't speak your language and try living there. And that's actually so true, because you realize how much you have in common with other people, even when you don't speak their language. Mm. And you realize how basic things still remain the same, but at the same time, culture is so different and just sights are so different. So it has affected me a great deal. And it's, you know, once you travel a lot, you get bitten by the travel bug, so that's happened to me. So I love travel.
I just feel that, you know, if your parents are listening to this episode right now, they will be so proud of you. Aww. And I've known them for
so
long.
I will send them a link.
Yeah, you should. You should ask them to listen to this. And I've always seen how close you are to them and how you talk to them all the time. And I mostly don't talk about having kids a lot, but when I do, I always picture myself having a daughter, and I always picture her being influenced by the most powerful women in my life. So I tend to tell Meenal sometimes that I want my kid to be like her, or my best friend Ranjita, I tell her I want my kid to be like her. And I'm sure you're on that list too. Like, I'm definitely just, you know, letting you know that I would
Priyanka,
want
don't take my spotlight, okay? You've taken a lot from
me
today.
I would want my future daughter to be, you know, like you as well. So I'm sure there was something in your upbringing that made you the person that you are. So could you share at least one gem of wisdom or advice that was given to you by your parents?
That was given to me by my parents would... My parents... there's multiple gems of advice given
to me
by my
parents.
Okay,
you don't have to just share one.
No, but the most important one would be... And this is not... My parents have probably never said this to me in as many words, but this is the message that has been reinforced, which is never settle. They've always wanted the best for me, and they've always pushed me to get what I think is the best for myself as well. So every time I've made a life choice, their first line of questioning has always been, do you think this is the best for you? And also, do you think this is the best that you can be? So their message has always been, and if I say yes, then they're very happy to let go. They're like, okay, you know, if you're happy with your decisions, this is fine. But never settle is what what my parents and my...
That's amazing advice to give anyone who's listening. Never settle.
Yeah.
You know,
just like, and for everything, you know, not just my job or my career or my studies, even my personal life choices. They're like, are you happy? If you're not happy, then don't settle. There's no need for you. So yeah, it's always, you know,
yeah, I think it's
to the
even
best.
Like, you know, with my parents as well, they always say like, never devalue yourself. You should know.
Yeah.
Your own personal values that you have and
exactly.
how much worth you are. So that's very, very, it's a very nice thing to say, Priyanka. I'm going to write that down as well, apart from all the other things that you took.
Is that because you're dumb? Because you can't remember never settle? You have to write it down.
Hey!
Never.
N-E-V. But Priyanka, from Ankita's blog, I've also seen that Harry Potter has been a massive influence. You guys are such nerds. I don't, you know, like.
We were just saying that because on my first day here, I think I said something and she said, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only
hope.
And we finished each other's lines. We were like, you're my only hope.
Let me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Even just before we started the recording, you said like 10 Gryffindor points.
10 points and Gryffindor.
I was just going to walk away, but, you know, for the sake of Desi Outsiders, I'll stay. But what other influences did you have growing up? I don't count Harry Potter as an influence.
What?
Just letting you know.
Are you talking about? Okay, we're going to ignore that, but you can talk about the other influences.
My other influences are also all fantasy fiction, so I don't know what you want me to say.
Apart from fantasy fiction, Priyanka, there must be something else.
Music, I guess. I was always...
Tell me about the fantasy fiction later, okay?
Yeah. I've already given you a list, Ankita.
You have.
Yeah. I know, we're very big nerds. But yeah, music, I guess. I was always into music, I guess you could say. I enjoy singing and just exploring new types of music. So it was always like one phase to another phase to another phase, and something that keeps you going. So I got very into jazz, and now I've started enjoying jazz and appreciating the artists and appreciating the different types of sound. So yeah.
Did you watch La La Land?
I did watch La La Land, yes.
That was also something that got me really interested in jazz. After.
Yeah, I know. Ryan Gosling does that to people.
Yeah. And did you know that he learned how to play the piano in just 3 months on his own?
Oh my God.
In all fairness,
all he had to play was...
No, he does a few others.
Yeah, actually, Mia and Sebastian's theme is really good.
Ryan Gosling does something. Doesn't mean it's amazing. Okay?
I mean, it does look like he was trained from the time he was a child. And then I found out that he got only 3 months of training. And I was like, oh my God. Okay, if I have a son, I want my son to be like Ryan Gosling.
No.
So I think now we've come to the final question that we all ask all of our guests, which is, you know, by the way, I say all of our guests as we have a lot of guests on our show. We've just had,
of course,
you're just,
you know, all the hundreds of guests who come to our show who request and beg to be on our show.
You're just the third, so I should probably not... To the previous two, we've asked this question, and we're going to ask you as well. What advice would you give someone who wants to follow your footsteps and become you?
Never settle.
Never settle. Yeah. Be better than me. Don't be me. No. I would say, trust your gut, because that's what I did when I was younger in terms of my career choice, or just which cities I wanted to go to and what I wanted to study. It just so that everybody knows, Ankita is pointing vigorously
at me. I can see that she's nagging at you.
Because she wants me to stop moving.
Yeah, she just won't sit still, so I have to tell her stop
I'm
moving around.
I'm not being able to sit still.
But anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, so yeah, just trust your gut and go with your instinct. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. So there's no point investing time and energy. Life is just too short to be spending time doing things that you don't enjoy. So that's what I would say. Just trust your gut and do things that you do enjoy.
Well, thank you, Priyanka. That even like after this conversation, even I feel like I should be working a lot harder, and not just because
not just because
you've mentioned all the stuff that you've done, but you know, sometimes you just need that little push from someone, and you speak to someone.
Mina, if you start doing more than you already have on your plate, you'll probably like burst into flames. Yeah. So maybe
like
you should,
a phoenix. Yeah. Harry Potter reference. Check.
Oh my God.
The thing for you to do actually is take a step back and slow down a little bit.
No. But the reason this was so inspiring to me is that because many of us who are either in India or even abroad, you know, Priyanka grew up in a normal working class home and she had hard working parents. So she made the best of every opportunity and she relentlessly worked hard to get to where she is now. So, you know,
I feel that, you know, there are a lot of kids and even adults out there who like to blame their circumstances for things.
Actually, Ankita, you mentioned this because, you know, Bill Gates, he says that if you're born poor, it's not your fault. But if you stay poor, then it is your fault.
Yeah. So,
I think,
a lot of people tend to say that, okay, I was poor or I had all these things happening in my life back then. That's a reason why. And people tend to believe that only kids from, you know, wealthy families and rich kids are the only ones who can get a good education and they can get, you know, they can do well for themselves, and that only the rich kids could go to a good university, which could lead to a job like yours in London. But, you know, especially since since I've known you since childhood, Priyanka, you're literally like the girl next door. Like a very ordinary, normal girl who's just hardworking and passionate about all the things in her life. And I feel that, you know, our generation needs to hear stories like these, that success stories like these.
Yeah, I guess. But also,
I guess. No biggie.
No, but just to caveat that, I mentioned this to Ankita before. I understand that people blame their circumstances, but at the same time, I don't want to take away from the fact that as far as my education and my life is concerned, I'm still quite privileged in the sense that I've been blessed with very understanding parents and I've had opportunities. A lot of people might not have those opportunities, but yes, it's easy to make something, not easy, but you can make something of yourself outside of your circumstances or way outside mm-hmm. of your circumstances. Just try and push.
So thank you so much for coming on the show, Priyanka. It was a great honor.
You are very welcome. Also, Ankita was living in my house for the last 3 days, so I kind of had no choice.
Yeah, I kind of forced her to do this with us.
Well, I hope anyone who listens to this episode really becomes inspired and likes to follow your footsteps. And you can join us next week for the Priyanka show.
And every other week after that, I've bought you guys.
This was a lot of fun. So thankful to you for doing this. Oh. Not only did you give me an amazing time in London, you also came on my show and gave us this interview on my show.
It's my show now.
Yeah, it's Priyanka show now.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that she's not on the call anymore, Meenal, do you still feel tiny?
I don't feel tiny, Ankita. I feel very inspired, and I hope everybody else who's listened to this show also feels inspired and invigorated to follow their passions and to follow what they want to do. She's a very private person, so we won't be sharing any contact details with you. But if you do wish to reach out to her, all you have to do is leave us a comment and we will forward everything right to her.
And speaking of comments, do follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at The Desi Outsiders. And don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or whichever app you use to listen to your favorite podcasts. And we'll see you next week. So until then, I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And we are The Desi Outsiders. Bye-bye.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.